Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs, and I am honored to be your host for tonight's Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. The first Tuesday night of 2016, February. So welcome to the call. Already 1/12th of 2016 is in the books. And I know many of you on tonight's call, this unequivocally is your breakthrough year. Not only the breakthrough year, but the year that you actually receive compensation, your year to receive on a level of consciousness that you are in the process of creating. Your attractor factor is improving. The command of your emotions is unequivocally within the palm of your hand, and you are in the process of becoming the enlightened business owner, entrepreneur, and person of influence and affluence that you've always deserved to become. So I want to thank you for being on tonight's call, a very significant call tonight, because I'm going to cover how to become a master closer. And I'm not talking about closing in sales. I'm talking about closing in any situation you are. Closing is really synonymous with finishing. Most of society spends a great deal of their time starting, and they never reap the benefits of the opportunity to be able to receive compensation, love, or whatever the situation is, but many people are so uncomfortable with themselves that they avoid success by using failure as their excuse to be average. And I'll cover that in depth after I cover a few quick announcements, and we'll move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. I love doing this call, in case you did not know that. I've been hosting this call. This is my 19th year. I originally started this call as a team call for my team back in the day. My team was originally called Golden Wave Enterprises, and then I reframed that into Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated in 1995. I've been hosting this call actually for more than 20 years, but 19 of it is my own seminar company, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. This Saturday, I will be in one of my favorite cities in the South, a beautiful college town, Columbia, South Carolina. My first-class client and friend, Carlotta Davis, will be my host of the event. I'll also have the privilege of sharing the stage with Jennifer Trinkner, who started it all for me over 4 years ago when she came and saw me speak in Atlanta in November of 2011. So thank you, Jennifer, for really blazing the trail for me to really create a great culture in a beautiful state of South Carolina, which is a state I could live in about 10 seconds. February 13th, I will be with my exceptional friend, Joe DiBianca, Scott Aaron, and Don Ferrantino. Joe has been a brother from another mother from me for the last 5 years. So, Joe, thank you for bringing me to Philadelphia. There'll be some great content. Don Ferrantino is going to be joining us at that event. February 27th, I will be in Clark, New Jersey. Where is Clark? It's very close to the Newark Airport. I'll be sharing the stage with Don Ferrantino. March 5th, my first trip to beautiful Salt Lake City in 5 years. Now, Salt Lake City is a city that I've spoken in at least 50 times in my career, right downtown with the Wasatch Mountains right in the background. And what a beautiful place to host an event. And I want to thank many people who are bringing me there, but specifically Adrian Carbonell. Thank you, Adrian. March 5th. March 12th, the City of Angels in Marina Del Rey. March 19th, Newark, New Jersey. That is definitely a date to throw the dart on into the board. I'll be sharing the stage with Dr. Joe Dispenza and Alexis Romano. That will be a sold-out event. March 26th, Boston. April 2nd, Cleveland. April 9th is an open date. I'm in the process of filling. Bozeman, Montana. For those of you who have never been to Big Sky Country, for those of you who read the magazine Rob Report this month, I just received it last Friday. On the cover is Jimmy Kimmel, the late-night host who loves to fly fish in beautiful Bozeman, Montana. I will be dining in one of his favorite restaurants, April 23rd, St. Louis, and April 30th, Norwalk, Connecticut. For those of you on tonight's call who are unequivocally serious about taking your game and yourself to the next level, I will offer you one free 15-minute coaching call for a first-time caller, or if you haven't called me for a long time and you're serious about letting go of an addiction, you're serious about letting go of an event, or you want to take your game to the next level, you can contact me at 209-932-0227, 209-932-0227, or you can contact me on Facebook, and I unequivocally do return my calls personally. So those of you who are my friends and my clients, you know that service and value are my middle name, and I unequivocally do return the calls in a very quick forum. Now, last but not least, coming up the 1st of March, I'm going to have a live prospecting clinic. What does that mean? It means that I will be conducting live dials. Yes, that is me, your homeboy, connecting live dials. That will be on a Monday night, March 7th, 14th, 21st, and 28th. What do live dials mean? It means that you will hear me experiencing a lot of broken souls from broken homes with no dreams and no aspirations, and you will hear people saying, "Where'd you get my name?" You will hear me encountering some of the same situations that you receive, and I will show you how to diplomatically ask a series of questions. There's also a high probability that I will receive some voicemails. You'll simply receive a voicemail message. I will be calling some leads that I purchase. I'll be calling some leads that I create. I'll be calling business card leads that I find. And if you want me to call a lead for you and you and I have a connection, then I will unequivocally call one of your leads on your call. So we'll cover that in great detail. Now, this is going to be a unique call. It is recorded, but legally, I cannot record the other person on the other line, so I'll figure out a resolution to how I will pull that situation off. Do your best to be on the live call. That will be at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, $97, and then later in the year, I'll be doing it at other times throughout the year, because I'm going to assist you to really take your sales skills, your mastery of your emotions, to a higher level of consciousness where you won't have so much anxiety about the outcome, so that you can understand the inner game of what I'm going to cover tonight. Tonight's call is dedicated to being a finisher. Now, I have been a closer all of my life, and closing doesn't mean you close the door, although I grew up in a family that left a lot of doors open. There were a lot of situations that went on in my family where I became the cleanup person. I'm a very detailed, systematic, organized person. Now, I'm going to cover tonight in the inner game of how to ask the questions in a sequence that will allow you to start to receive some of the results that you seek. So the content I'm covering isn't only going to assist you in your sales career, but it's also going to assist you in how to ask for a booth in a restaurant, how to ask for the table that you want to dine in, how to upgrade your seat in from second class to first class, how to be able to effectively interview someone. If you want to hire a dog groomer to assist you to enhance the look of your dog, then there's persuasion skills that allow you to create that transaction. Closing sounds contradictory because really to close you must open. Closing encompasses the ability to ask sequence in a question, to ask questions in a sequence. And if you're not skilled at asking, there's a probability that you have a story that hinders you from asking the questions. A large percent of society has been abandoned, neglected, abused, traumatized, molested, overwhelmed, grew up in alcoholic, addicted homes where there was violence or any multitude of situations. Then there is a percent of society that had exceptional parents and had exceptional situations and that fostered a great relationship with your family and people in your circle of influence. However, there's a probability that many of you on tonight's call went through a series of events that created an emotional state where you have a rejection and abandonment issues. The events that shaped your feelings then create an identity. In that identity, you tell yourself a series of stories. And one of the main stories that people communicate to themselves through their self-talk is they're not good enough, they don't want to fail, they might make a mistake, they might get in trouble, they don't want to offend someone, they don't like selling, they don't like the word no. Any combination of any of those statements that you communicate to yourself, either telepathically, emotionally, or the spoken or verbal word, will create a situation that you avoid. To procrastinate is to avoid. It's a Latin term that a large percent of society lives in the epidemic of procrastination or avoidance tendencies. Now, you're probably not a procrastinator in every area of your life. There's several areas of your life that you're effective, but if you live in an overwhelmed, emotionally intoxicated state, creating a series of neurons that wire and fire together that keep you avoiding, it's going to definitely show up in your sales career, your sales, marketing, prospecting, and connecting experiences. Now, many of you have been told what to do. You've learned how to read right to left to right. You live in your left brain. That's your analytical, egoic, logical mind. To be exceptional as a business owner, you must be creative, spontaneous, and innovative. How do I get leads? Well, it's not getting leads. It's how do you create leads that you can connect with? Ideally, you want qualified leads in whatever you're doing. But a qualified lead doesn't mean they're qualified to succeed. And it's going to be your responsibility to be able to ask a series of qualifying questions to see if the person you're communicating with has a problem you can resolve. A perfect case in point. I sit down on an airplane on the way home from a trip this weekend from Denver, Colorado. The person sitting next to me was speaking in a foreign language. She was having a conversation. It was very loud. I was waiting for the plane to debark. There was no way she was going to connect with me. She wasn't checked out. She was checked into the life she was having. I didn't sit there and go, wow, how am I going to recruit this woman? I paid attention and watched. The way she sat in her seat on the airplane is unequivocally the way she would live in her house. She was overwhelmed, unorganized, and undisciplined. If you've ever seen the comic strip Peanuts, she would represent Pigpen. That's what looked like in her seat. The newspaper was all over the place. Her shoes were all over the place. Everything around her. Now, that doesn't mean she was disqualified from my time, but what it meant was she was never emotionally available. She was completely checked out. There was no way for me to have a conversation, not even considering I wanted to have her join a business, but she could just tell that she wasn't what I was looking for. And perhaps I wasn't what she was looking for. I didn't reject her. She didn't reject me. That's a case in point. You have to let go of the story you tell yourself to avoid an outcome that typically doesn't happen. And a large percent of society avoids failure because they don't want to fail. However, in that contradictory statement about avoiding failure, you fail to engage, you fail to learn, and you fail to get off the launching pad. You must let go of your anxiety and or your control issues if you ever want to be and stay successful. So to become effective at closing or selling, there's a zen, a Z-E-N. There's an inner game. It's like dropping the ball in the – it's like when you putt, you drop the ball in the cup. It's when you play baseball, you take a pitcher downtown. You roll your wrist, you turn your hips, and you freaking crush it. You circle the bases like you've been there before. You go in the dugout. You put your hat on. You sit on the bench, and you watch the rest of the inning. And you go out and play defense like a professional. Now, when you become relaxed, released, and in the moment, when you don't put pressure on yourself that is not real, when you don't tell yourself a series of stories, then you can begin to communicate with yourself so you can communicate with others. Your word is powerful, and words do not return void. So if you want to become skilled at prospecting, connecting and asking the questions and becoming a finisher, then you will start to let go of your anxiety about situations that have not happened. So if you meet someone, your objective is not to get them. You're not a getter, you're a connector. You're a soul having a human experience. And you have to practice the repetition and the experience so that you can practice the art of the connection. To be an artist is to be able to see an outcome before you start, typically that's favorable. You want to see the violet, the purple, the blue, the gold, the yellow, the orange. You got to be able to see the colors before you start. You have to be able to be intuitive. You have seven chakras in your body, and you want to be able to connect with your sexual energy. You want to be able to connect with your power. But if you're disconnected and you live in your left brain, then you're going to be in an outer body experience, checked out, overwhelmed, and disappointed. But if you're really ready to break through your emotionally, neurochemically addicted state, and you're ready to receive in 2016, and this is the year, this is your arrival year, this is the year that you're going to reap, this is where you change your attractor factor so that a series of people synchronistically from energy of the quantum field and the Akashic records begin to show up on command because you have become that person of influence. One of my exceptional clients named Abby, I coached her just recently. She enrolled 11 people in her particular business enterprise. Now, that may sound like a lot for some of you, but it's not when you're ITF in the flow. And there are people on this call who have those kinds of results before. That has happened to me before. I once enrolled 7 people in a day, 14 in a week, over 30 in a month, and that didn't happen every month. But when you're consistent emotionally, when you're in that flow, when you're in your body, when you're able to articulate your feelings into words, you start to have a command of your emotional state. You start to understand how to ask questions for an outcome that you're seeking. So if I'm going to hire someone to board my horse, I'm going to call around, I'm going to ask for referrals, and I'm going to ask for the best place to board my horse. If I have a 17-hand thoroughbred and I'm very skilled at the art of riding, I'm definitely going to have someone, a place to board the horse. I'm going to hire someone who's good at grooming. I'm going to hire a blacksmith, and I'm probably going to hire a trainer for that horse. If I'm going to put my dog, my loved one, my significant other, my Jack Russell, my pride and joy, if I'm going to have someone take care of that dog, I'm going to hire the best dog whisperer. His name is Joe D. Bianchi on the call tonight, who I actually hired to come and assist me do that. If I have to put my dog in a kennel, I'm going to put my dog in the best kennel. And if I'm going to hire a dog whisperer, I'm going to ask a series of questions to find out if they qualify to be my, take care of my loved one. So the same situation applies when you engage in business. You want to be able to qualify people for your time in a very relaxed emotional state where you're not interrogating someone, you're not telegraphing your anxiety, in other words, you're not saying a mixed message, you're not unconsciously saying, please don't ask me how much money I haven't made. You're not telegraphing, oh my God, 6 more days and I'll be here a week. You're not telegraphing your uncomfortability. You're in a very relaxed state. It's a zen-like state. You're not in a trance. You're in a very relaxed state. Your life, you're not in a life and death situation. Your career does not rise and fall in one conversation. Your objective is to ask a series of questions to see if there's a win-win situation, if there can be a collaboration, if there's a possibility that this person has a problem you can resolve. Your objective in communication, when you market products, services, and goods of value, or you're marketing a business opportunity, or you're marketing the opportunity to connect with you, your objective is to find out if there is a connection. And you do that by asking questions, fact-finding, rapport building, and small talk. But most importantly, if you're marketing wellness products, if you're marketing anti-aging products, if you're marketing services and features, and if you're selling a dream, you want to be clear that the person you're communicating with is looking for what you're offering. But if you come from a need situation, or you come from desperation or lack or poverty consciousness, then you telegraph that anxiety and you telegraph your desperation. If you're telegraphing your abandonment and your rejection issues, then the universe typically reward you for your low self-esteem and present to you someone who will violate your feelings, or you'll create a situation to fulfill that neurochemical feeling so you can be and stay disappointed. Now, when you let go of the story and you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that have shaped your low self-esteem, then you can begin to raise your energetic vibration. You can move into a state called awareness where you have a different degree of what you hear and how you filter what is said so you can hear what is meant. It means in your circle of influence, you can begin to see, sense, and feel about 280 to 240 degrees in your circle of influence through sense, touch, feel, and awareness. It means you hear what is meant when someone checks out and says, well, this sounds good, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this over and I'm going to get back with you. A large percent of the population buys emotionally. A large percent of the population buys on sense, touch, and feel. A smaller percent of the population buys logically, and they buy on facts, figures, and everything has to make sense. Now, when you understand predictability and cause and effect and why people do what you do, then you can effectively engage anyone. Prospecting, connecting, communicating are the rules of engagement. You also must understand that a large percent of the population is checked out. They've been through a series of events that they're not in their body. And if they're not emotionally available, ready, or see the value or see the product's benefits and features, then learn this. Do not take it personally. Seldom, if ever, will someone violate you emotionally, physically, or put you in a position to feel bad unless you telegraph it. When you're relaxed and released and you're in the present, you're ITF in the flow, and then you're asking a series of questions to move a conversation along, and the way you communicate with people has to be unscripted, but with a series of flow in the way you ask the question. You can't sit there and read a script, although you could actually use a script in certain occasions, but you have to be able to ask the questions based on the answer. The easiest question to ask someone is, how are you today? I mean, it's nothing more than a small talk question. How are you today? You also learn how to set up the question that you're going to ask. You set the question up by saying this, the purpose of my call, the reason I'm connecting with you. You don't know me, but your name was referred to me by, and the reason I'm reaching out to you is. If you want to use LinkedIn or any type of social media source, then you can create an endless supply of leads. But you have to get beyond this perfect lead syndrome. A large percent of average salespeople, rookie salespeople, or people who don't really understand the art of asking, the art of connecting, or art of selling, have this preconceived notion that the only leads that close are the leads that are ideal. That's not the case. One of the best leads I ever created was a wrong number. I called a woman, and she said, you have the wrong number. I said, do I have the right person? She said, I like that. I asked her what she did for a living. She ran a telemarketing room. Her name was Melissa. I called a woman named Melissa Tardiff in Las Vegas, Nevada, T-A-R-D-I-F-F. Her name was Melissa Johnson. Her fiance was a blackjack dealer at the Hilton. I prospected them. They didn't start immediately. Eventually, they became $250,000 income earners. That was a 10-cent lead, wrong number. I once called a postcard lead that I attracted. I asked for a gentleman named Harvey in a 501 area code. The woman said, Mr., and she said Mr. in a southern accent. She said, Mr., you have the wrong number, and hung up. I looked at the number. I knew I had the right number. I called back. I said, excuse me, can I speak with Harvey? She said, Mr., I just told you there ain't no Harvey here. And I said, excuse me, but what is your name? She goes, my name is Barbie. Ah, click, got it. 501 area code, prospected her, took her through a system, 5 foot tall, 98 pounds dripping wet. She became one of the best people I ever sponsored in my career. Now, that was an interesting situation. The person who gave me that lead quit the business and let me know that he had 10 leads in his voicemail box and he would no longer be accessing them, and he wondered if I would like to take advantage of those 10 leads that he had not called in a month. See, this is what you have to overcome, is your anxiety about the perfect lead syndrome. I can take any set of leads and create curiosity. I can create a connection in a law of averages. Now, I'm going to encounter the same thing anyone else would encounter, voicemails, disconnect numbers, situations like that. In today's world, you can text people. You can instant message them, but it's the same thing. It's articulating your feelings into words. Many of you have anxiety about having a live connection call. Why? Because you might not be able to be in control of the control that keeps you out of control, that keeps you controlling your control. Now, some of you actually understand what that means. It means you have a story about an outcome, and you have so much anxiety that you won't be able to control the outcome, but to stay in control of what you control, you avoid the outcome you have no control of, so you can be and stay disappointed. Now, disappointed isn't the state you want to be, but it's the state that you're familiar with. Even though you don't want to admit to yourself that that's the payoff you get for avoiding success, and then you lie to yourself and say you're avoiding failure, when in reality, you avoid being successful because success would contradict your struggle. It would be the who, the you-know-what am I. And when you begin to let go of that kind of anxiety, then you can actually become the person you were meant to become. No one is going to get you in trouble for calling them. You're not going to be bothering someone. And if someone does go off, have a good picture of them, that they're sitting at home in their underwear drinking a Schlitz. Remember those, the Breakfast of Champions? Perhaps a Falstaff or a PBR. They have a small cigar in their mouth, and they have garters on their socks holding up the socks, and they're watching reruns of Roseanne. Now, when you get a picture like that, then it's not quite as personal, isn't it? You don't take it quite that seriously. When you begin to let go of the story that never even happens, then you can be in a very relaxed space where you can communicate with people. When someone answers the telephone, the most predictable situation that they will say is hello. When you're sitting on an airplane next to someone, or you're sitting in line or standing in line, you look to see if someone gives you eye contact, a head nod, a smile, or any situation like that. On a telephone, you learn to read the tone of someone's voice. You read their energy. If they come across angry or bitter or any situations like that, that would be a telegraph. But even that situation, sometimes you can overcome that by the person you are, by being right there in the middle of your emotional state, objectively asking a series of questions to see if you can connect with someone. How are you doing today? Where are you traveling to? Where are you from originally? Now, if you have anxiety about this situation, this will also hinder you. If you have this story in your head that you don't want to appear to be nosy, whatever that even means, put your nose in a situation, or you don't want to pry in other people's affairs, if you are a child of God in today's world, but as a child of your parents' structure, you were told that children are to be seen, not heard. Sit right there and don't say a word. Don't make a noise. Don't make a mistake. You'll scare off the fish. I actually was told that once upon a time. But if that becomes your identity, then you will have challenges being able to communicate, connect with people, and ask them questions. How do you close a sale? You close a sale the minute you engage it. You learn to trial close by asking closing questions early and often in the communication. One of the most common questions I ask someone is, how serious are you? How serious are you about hiring a coach? How serious are you about improving the quality of your health? How serious are you about improving the way you look? How serious are you about creating income from home? How serious are you about becoming a millionaire? How serious are you about letting go of the control that keeps you out of control? Have you ever considered starting your own business? These are trial closing questions. Have you set aside any money to start a business? If you found the ideal business model, would you be in a position to invest $1,000 in that business? If I showed you a product and service that could unequivocally change the way you feel about yourself, would you be willing to take a look? So you have to be able to ask these kinds of questions in a sequence. You're conducting a very relaxed interview. Now, you want to develop your own interview style. Me, I like to ask people where they went to college. I like to ask them where they grew up. I like to find out if they ever played a sport. I like to find out details that I can relate with them. I interviewed a gentleman named Peter, had a great conversation with him. Peter found out that he and I had some historical facts in common that created a great bond with us. You just never know who the person is you're communicating with until you have the courage to let go of the control that keeps you in control, when you can see if you can connect. Now, when you can relate to someone and you're relatable, that's what creates relaxed relatability. But when you tell yourself you're not good enough, you're not sure if you can pull this off, when you continue to tell yourself, I don't know what I'm going to say, if you get concerned about saying the right thing, then you're going to have challenges before you even start. There's a high probability you'll get so overwhelmed you'll end up at the refrigerator. And if that is you, then you have to let go of your anxiety that keeps you avoiding not only failing but success. The reason that many people have challenges even starting, because they're not sure how they're going to control the outcome. They're not going to sure how they're going to control success. Success is a different identity if you have struggled, but it's the very reason you want to go through the process to let go of the control that keeps you being average. So to be effective at what you do, it requires repetition and experience. There's a Zen-like quality when you get good. When you become a professional and you're no longer an amateur, then you have virtually changed your reflexes. Your emotional reflexes are what allow you to respond. When you have anxiety about an outcome, then you will react. When you are when you are actually conditioned to react because you've grown up with passive-aggressive parents, you grew up with a brother who traumatized you or a sister who you weren't good enough for, or someone who became your mother that was actually in your family, you were picked on at the playground, you were bullied, or any multitude of situations, this forms a neurological network of neurons that wire and fire together, and you'll continue to tell yourself you're not good enough, you're not worthy, you're not sure if you could pull it off, or any multitude of statements that keep you in a very low, energetic, vibrational state so you can attract perpetrators, violators, people pleasers, givers, servers, and other people in your own energetic vibration so you can be and stay disappointed. Now, when you become really good at this process, some of your leads begin to show up because you are sending a different signal that is no longer mixed. When you're comfortable, comfort, and able to be able to transmute a set of feelings that are relaxed, you're in love, you're in peace, you're joy, you're bliss, you're in enlightenment, then you are no longer the mind-body connection to the violations that shaped your feelings. But when you continue to live in your past and continue to say, I don't know what happened to me in my first 9 years of my life, my whole life is a blur, I don't have a good memory, I'm bad with numbers, when you continue to have this kind of self-talk, then you can't relate to people who are evolved. The people who are evolved have a different level of consciousness than you have by being a victim and being an addict. I'm a recovering addict with 14 years of addictions. I hit rock bottom more than a couple of times. I didn't know how low I could possibly go to until I reached some of those depths of depravity. But when the pain is great enough, when you're ready to let go, then you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your low self-esteem. As you begin to evolve, reinvent yourself, start to create a new identity, as you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that keep you feeling rejected and abandoned, as you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events, and you're able to separate your feelings from the events that no longer serve you, as you begin to let go of people who control you, as you begin to let go of people who demean you and call you names and say situations about you, as you begin to attract people that you can collaborate with, connect with, and most importantly, relate to because they're relatable, then you will begin to attract a different type of person to your reality. They begin to show up. Virtually, the parking space is in front of the restaurant like it's always been. You just didn't see it. You went to the restaurant not expecting to find a parking space, and you, because of how you've been conditioned to behave, you parked in the back. One of the most interesting situations I ever witnessed is I had someone pick me up in Nashville, Tennessee. Rather than letting me off at the front door, he drove all the way around to the back while it was raining, parked the car, and didn't even think anything about it that we should walk a block in the rain when he could have let us off in the front door. That means he didn't do anything wrong. He did what was familiar. That's how he was conditioned to behave. He didn't understand what to do in that situation. I didn't take it personally. I understand that was predictable. The more you understand predictability, the more power you possess. To close a sale is to ask for it up front. Closing is contradictory because you're not really closing, you're asking. And you ask questions that lead to the outcome you seek. There's a sequence of questions and use persuasion skills and techniques to be able to fact find, rapport build, and find out if the person you are connecting and communicating with has a problem you can resolve. If you're in a sales environment or a sales experience, which you're in the process of creating transactions, you want to be able to create this transaction in a very relaxed environment where you can create an outcome in anywhere from 1, 2, or 3 conversations. There are many wives' tales and misnomers about selling. Many people want to seduce you into believing that it requires 6, 7 touches to be able to close a sale. Now, every type of sale has its own type of sequence. So if I once sold radio and television time, I sold Yellow Pages, I sold food to restaurants. So every sale has its own cycle of sale. Some type of sales have a different sequence to the sale and have a longer looking cycle, a longer cycle before the customer can create the transaction. I've sold advertising packages where sometimes it would take a month. It had to go through a buyer where the buyer had to approve and go over. But most of you on tonight's call are selling business opportunities, products and services of value that price points are anywhere from $1,000 or below. If you're selling a typical product like that, the selling cycle should be relatively low. Now, there are products and benefits and features where science is involved, where some people may want to understand more about the products, the benefits, the features. They want to know the outcome. Everyone's entitled to make their own decision. But if you become really good at this process, you become a professional, not an amateur, you should be able to close a transaction in one, two, or three conversations. If you become skilled at branding and people begin to follow you, and you've started to create interest in social media, and people start to follow you, they follow your writing style, your techniques, they're watching the pictures that you post, they're watching the person of influence that you are becoming, they're watching how many people begin to follow you, how many looks and likes, people start to pay attention because you are interesting. You don't have to have had a lot of success to be interesting. You're interesting because you become committed to being interested. So when you become committed to being interesting online, people begin to follow you, and social media begins to reward you for how many looks, likes, and the algorithm you create, and the Facebooks and the LinkedIns and these type of social media environments have a calculation called edge rank. It's a combination of how interesting you are. Your posts and situations hang up longer in the news feed, where you create more visibility. Now, when people start to follow you like that, sometimes they'll follow you. They'll say, "Wow, I want to be a part of that," meaning that they are ready to purchase, join, create a transaction on command. Now, that means that they show up. But most of your prospecting and selling will incorporate you creating a lead, attracting a lead, and whatever you have to do that, leads must become a way of life. Many people ask me a complex, complicated question that's only a few words: how do I create leads? Here's the answer. Leads must be experienced so you can understand how to create them. I can't sit here on tonight's call and tell you how to create the leads that you require. There are hundreds of ways to create a lead. Create two or three that become very skilled at. LinkedIn should be one of them. Facebook can be another one. Using Google can be another way. Referrals is another way. Roadside signs, techniques that have been around for 1,000 years are other ways. Billboards, sign on your car, any multitude of situations. I mean, leads are a way of life. Picking business cards up in different situations, writing down phone numbers off service trucks that pass by you. I once had a client who welded a trailer and drove it and had small wheels on it, weighed less than 50 pounds. He had signs that he can place on the side of the trailer. He used to drive on the freeway in Orlando, Florida. It said, "Millionaire Seeks Apprentice." He also had another one that said, "Real estate investor seeks homes to purchase." I mean, whatever it is, it was very simple, and he would create anywhere from 50 to 75 leads driving around Orlando in a two-hour window, meaning you must be creative and innovative in how you create your leads. I used to go to the USA Today, and I would put an interest card, put 50 cents back in the day when the USA Today was 50 cents or a dollar. I'd put two quarters or four quarters in a USA Today newspaper stand, and then I would put an interest-creating card or a postcard in between the life section and the sports section in the magazines or in the newspapers in the rack. I would go to Barnes & Noble, and I would put an interest-creating card that said, "Frightened of being successful, let me scare you to death." I'd put it in Inc. magazine, Black Entrepreneur. I'd put it in Jet. I'd put it in Success magazine, Rob Report. I'd put it in Condé Nast Traveler, World Traveler. I'd put it in Outdoor Life, Field & Stream, Popular Mechanics. I'd put about 25 cards in the magazines, about 25 cards in books that would sell quickly. And then on a weekly basis, I would have five or six leads. I would go to North Dallas. I would go to the Galleria, and I would go to another mall out in North Dallas, and I would conduct a millionaire survey where I would ask six questions in a sequence about becoming a millionaire. And the last question, would you like me to follow up with you? Would it be possible for me to receive your phone number so I can follow up with you tomorrow so I can show you how you can become a millionaire? I would create anywhere from 25 to 50 leads in a day. You must be creative. I've also gone to state fairs, psychic fairs. I've had booths in many situations. Leads are a way of life. You must be a lead magnet, a lead attractor. When you have more leads than you have time, you will be able to go through your leads very quickly, rapidly, with no attachment, looking for the people you can connect with, not feeling overwhelmed, rejected, or abandoned, with the people who prejudge an opportunity before they see it, or the people who can't make a decision because they're commitment phobic. You close the sale by asking for it. There are three pieces to closing a sale. So number one, this is in the art of closing, is the introduction. When you are closing a transaction, the initial conversation makes or break the conversation. The first 5 to 30 seconds, when you start to establish rapport and the purpose of the connection. If you don't establish the purpose of the connection early and often, you will waste a lot of time chit-chatting, small-talking, and never GTP, get to the point. You have to let go of your anxiety. Go, I don't want my friends to think I'm selling them something. You mean all I do is just call them and I just get straight to the point? No, I don't mean that. I mean that you have a purpose for the call. If you don't have a purpose for the call, you'll be lost in your own sauce, emotionally overwhelmed, and you'll probably never get around to the reason you call because you forget about it. If you're not purposeful, on point, on task, you're not a professional, you get overwhelmed having GOFCs, good old-fashioned chats. Well, good old-fashioned chats are great for chatting. It's good for chit-chat. It's good for BSing and all the other situations that's all about. But if you're not clear, you don't have to GTP, get to the point. You want to be able to have a purpose for the call, and you have to be able to state the purpose early in the conversation. That happens in the first 30 seconds. You also have to let go of your tendencies to and ah, check out, get overwhelmed, forget what to say, afraid you're going to get rejected or abandoned, neglected. You have to let go of these stories you tell yourself and become a professional and develop the reflexes to ask the questions in a sequence. Your objective is to find out if you have a qualified buyer. A qualified buyer meaning, do they have a problem you can resolve? Do they have vanity issues? Do they have weight issues? Do they have energy issues? Do they require to boost their energy? Are they looking for a way to release some weight, some anxiety, or any multitude of situations? You use your products, services, benefits, and features, and most importantly, you sell the dream to resolve the problems. A large percent of the population lives in liability debt. They're paying interest on money that doesn't exist, anywhere from 3 to 8% on real estate loans. And then if they're using credit cards, they're usually paying anywhere from no interest for 90 days to anywhere up to 20%, 28% interest on certain credit cards, unaware of the interest they're even paying. They're paying interest on money that doesn't exist, the biggest Ponzi in the world, and they don't even understand why they do what they do. You must become a person of influence or affluence, skilled at asking the questions in a sequence to see if they qualify for your times, your products, your services, your benefits, and your feature. So the situation, key to closing a sale, number one, is the introduction. The introduction is where you do the rapport building and the fact finding. You find out if you have a qualified prospect. What do you do for a career? How long you've been an attorney? Where did you go to law school? Is that a good profession for you? Right there makes or breaks the conversation. Is that a good vocation for you? Are you happy with what you do? Is that a rewarding career? You're looking for dissatisfaction so you can provide a result. And why do you want to start a business from the comfort of your home? Why do you want to be an entrepreneur? Why do you want to start a second business? And to be able to ask these questions and fact find so you can find out if they have a problem you can resolve. I keep saying that. Are they looking for a solution to the situation that they are in? When you ask someone, why do you want to own a business, many of them will go, well, freedom. What would freedom mean? This is where you start to dig in deep to why they do what they do. This is when you start to really can sell the dream by the way you ask the questions. You don't sell the dream by telling people your dreams. You sell the dream by finding out if they have any dreams. There are people that do still have dreams. A large percent of society forget to dream somewhere between, in four-year increments, between 10, 14, 18, 22, 26, and 30. And as you become very skilled at asking the questions, you'll start to create a emotional connections with a few of your prospects. As you begin to connect with people, it enhances the law of averages of a transaction. You're not there to seduce someone or beg someone. You're there to see if you can provide a service and value through the benefits and the features, the products that you're marketing, and most importantly, the opportunity to join your culture. When you really believe in yourself and you believe in what you're doing, then people will buy your belief. But when you telegraph your disbelief and your uncertainty, they won't buy you. You will also attract people to your belief who believe what you believe. When you come from a sense of certainty and you know that you know, and you're comfortable with self, and you're really, really committed to who you're being and what you're doing, then people will begin to buy you. And buy you means they buy your energy. They really buy who you are. When you can stand solid in your body, when you are really convicted with what you're doing, then you're going to telegraph that what I have is a value. And when you come from that value proposition and you raise your value ladder, sometimes people don't even care what you're selling because you're not selling. You're so convicted that they feel you. And this completely eliminates your anxiety about selling a product and a feature. You're not worried about, am I going to get a refund or a return? Oh my God, they're probably going to get started and not do anything. When you bring that kind of noise to the show, you've lost before you started. But when you believe in your belief and you're so convicted in what you're doing, then you will not be denied. When you come from that place of power, the facts don't matter. In 1995, I had $100,000 worth of liability debt. And I will be candid with you, it wasn't from compulsive spending, it was from bad choices I was making as a business owner. I was making impetuous, anxious decisions out of desperation. And I end up $100,000 worth of credit card debt. And I had to put those reasons to succeed, those reasons to be anxious on the table. I put those credit cards in the desk in a rubber band, and I knew that somehow, some way I would get them paid, but I couldn't focus on the problem. I had to focus on the solution. The solution to the challenge was to be able to create a result, but you can't recreate a result in anxiety. You can only create the result that you seek in a relaxed state of emotional consciousness, meaning focus on the solution, not the problem. Focus on other people, not yourself. But if you telegraph, oh my God, I haven't had any success, then you're making it about you. It's not about you, it's about them. It's about you and your belief. You must have a belief in self and what you're doing. That's a conviction. And you must be comfortable in what you're doing. That's relatability. So in that first phase of the interview, that first phase of the conversation, you qualify the prospect. In the second phase, you schedule an appointment. That means a view. They're going to come to a home party. They're going to come to an event. They're going to watch a video. They're going to watch a webinar. They're going to be able to hear from someone else. That means that you don't want to be in the position that you have to do the explaining, the telling, the selling. You're going to outsource that situation. You're going to leverage that to some other place where they can receive the content with you having disseminated it. Now that eliminates you having to be an expert. This allows anyone, any old one, to succeed in this process, coupled with the repetition and the experience where you become a skilled professional. Someone said to me tonight is, all I have to do is just talk to people? Not quite. Talking to people is not the antidote to success. Being able to communicate and connect with people, being able to find their pain, find their problem. In the second phase of the business is when you schedule an appointment. You must also have a show-up ratio conducive to an outcome. So if you schedule one appointment and that person doesn't show up, well, your law of probability isn't very high. If you schedule two appointments in a day and one of them shows up, well, you have a 50% show-up ratio. Your closing ratio is going to be based on your show-up ratio. For you to have a high closing ratio, you must become a closer, meaning you have skills in the art of asking. You close throughout the conversation the way you ask the questions. How serious are you? That's a trial closing question. Have you ever considered starting or owning your own business? That's a trial close question. Have you set aside any money to start a business? That's a trial close question. How are you today is not a closing question. That's a fact finder. I'm sorry, that's a rapport building question. That's a small talk question. That's an open-ended question. Some of your closing questions are closed-in questions. Your rapport building questions are open-ended. Where are you from originally? What do you like to do for fun? I mean, these are more open-ended questions. If money weren't an option, what would you do with your time? This is where you allow people to expand on their why. Your objective is also to find out if the person that you're communicating with has a cause bigger than their problems. If the person you're communicating with spends a great deal of their time whining and complaining, worrying about their outcome, they're probably not going to be the right person for you. When the person that you're communicating with comes across with commitment issues or comes across overwhelmed, there's a high probability that they'll have challenges committing. The more you understand cause and effect, the better you are at reading the situation for what it is. The less time you spend in anxiety, the more time you spend in love, bliss, joy, and enlightenment, the more time you spend in the present, in the now, in the know, then you'll become a lot more effective at what you do. Your objective is not to be perfect at what you do. Your objective is to be effective. And when you begin to really let go and be in your body, when you start to come from those emotional spaces in your body where you're inspired, where you're prosperous, you're communicating that you're in reciprocity, there's going to be a win-win situation that we can collaborate. When you don't have pressure on yourself, when you're not in an overwhelmed, anxious outer body experience, concerned about failing, when you're in the conversation and in your body, then your attunement, your attainment, your ability to connect and be able to resonate an energetic vibration that what I have is of value, and you're going to be able to see it, feel it, and believe it. When you're able to have these kind of persuasion techniques, then you're no longer the mind-body connection to the little kid who got abandoned and rejected. You're no longer connected to a father who didn't come and pick you up on a Saturday, so you're disappointed, so that always happens to you. When you have appointments that don't show up, a lot of that is a direct reflection of your inability to be able to schedule the appointment because of people who didn't show up for some of your appointments. When you have that mind-body connection, then you're going to create the same situation over and over to fill those feelings of disappointment, rejection, and abandonment. Some of you are getting an aha moment right now. That's right. Oftentimes, when you grew up in a broken home, and I've coached many people who had this happen, one of their relatives, one of their family members was supposed to pick them up on a weekend, and that person never showed up. That creates a neurochemical disappointment that you'll recreate over and over to fulfill the mind-body connection that has become your identity. When you're no longer that mind-body connection to that event, meaning you're able to separate your feelings from the event, you no longer live in guilt and shame, you're no longer connected to being overwhelmed, disappointed, or rejected, then you can reinvent yourself. Your neurological network based on past events doesn't have to be your present event, because right now, today, you were given a gift called time at midnight. It was called one day, and that one day at 86,400 seconds, 1,440 minutes in it. That is here. That is now. The way you feel about the present has nothing to do with the way you feel about the past. But when you bring your past into your present, then you're not able to separate yourself from the events that shaped your feelings. That's why you'll recreate the same situation over and over, so you can say, this always happens to me. You'll leave one bad relationship and engage in another one, because that's a state called familiar. This always happens to me. And when you do too much for others with an expectation they can't fulfill, then you've set yourself up for disappointment. This is also when you prospect your leads, you don't get over anxious and get excited about this person because this is going to be your next rock star. You learn to meet people where they are. When someone shows up for an appointment, now they're in a position you can ask closing questions. Based on what you reviewed, how do you feel? Are there any questions I can answer for you about how to use our products and services, our benefits and features? Are there any questions I can answer for you, or how to get started, or how to create your first $1,000 to $5,000 month? As you begin to trim the questions down, the answer, are there any questions I can answer for you about how to get started, how to use our products and services, or how to create your first check from the comfort of your home? Are there any questions I can answer for you on how to have a result that will be favorable for you in the first 90 days of using our benefits and features? Are there any questions I can answer for you about how to create your first $1,000 part-time month? Are there any questions I can see? You don't leave the stratosphere open. You want to be able to close down the questions. And you also, when you're communicating with people, you require eye contact, even over the telephone, in a very relaxed emotional state. You're not chewing your fingernails. You're not you're not grinding your teeth. You're not overwhelmed. You're not checked out. You're right here and you're right now. You got your eyes down, looking at the vantage point. You're looking right down there. You're right in it. You're in it to win it. You're in it to connect. You're in it to be able to have a relaxed conversation. Your business does not rise and fall on this one situation. If you don't create a favorable outcome because of one conversation, the game ain't over. I mean, you got to be able to pick the phone up and dial the next lead. Smile and dial. When you're able to come from that kind of place, then people begin to feel you. They have a different sensation. They have a different sense of urgency because you have a different sense of being. You have a different sensibility because you are here, you are now. When you start to move into spiritual enlightenment and you're no longer that mind-body connection, you're not in anxiety, you're not overwhelmed, you're not undisciplined, you're not unorganized. You are you and you are free. When I am me and I am free, then you're going to attract your reality, a different type of person to show up to reward you for your transformation. But you will not be rewarded for staying a victim. You will not be rewarded for staying an addict. You'll get a different kind of emotional feedback that you don't want to have happen that is familiar. So once again, you can validate and justify and explain to yourself why this always happens to you. When you let go of the events that shaped your feelings, now you can be that person that you always wanted to be. And letting go is not a how-to. Don't ask me, how do I? It's why don't you? Letting go is not physical. It's not linear. It's emotional. It's a decision. It's a commitment. It's not a just. Is all I do is just let go? No, it's not a just. You're not a jouster and you're not a juster. You're a soul having a human experience. Letting go is liberating. Well, I'd let go if you'd tell me how to. I just did. Letting go is letting go. It's not something explained. It's experience. When you experience letting go, then you can share the experience with someone else that's experienced letting go. But when you sit around and talk to someone else who can't let go, then you can't let go, and the two of you talk about how you don't understand to let go. And then before long, you'll be knocking back a double doers or a crown and a Dixie cup with a Boilermaker or shots of Cuervo or whatever to take the edge off. Or you use a barbiturate, a psychotropic drug, Ambien or Adderall, Breakfast of Champions, the red pill, the blue pill, to take that edge off. You'll find yourself having Twinkies, Ho-Hos, ding-dongs and snowballs, yeast and sugar to take that edge off. Then you'll say, I don't know why I ate that cheesecake. Oh, my God, I'm so stuffed. It's so uncomfortable. When you let go of the mind-body connections to the events that shaped your anxiety, then you're no longer the feelings that created the neurochemical response that keeps you overwhelmed and addicted. Now you are you or you are free. You can now ask a series of questions that free you from your past. And then you just say this, I'm so done with this. I want to congratulate one of my exceptional clients tonight, Lisa. Lisa said to me, she goes, you know what, Jeff, I am so done with this. That is no longer me. And I could feel her. Lisa came and saw me speak in Atlanta about 6 months ago. Lisa virtually was putting coins on my decision table. She was putting dollars together, wadded up ones, a five, a 10, and 20s. She was calling her credit card, hiring me because she was that committed to changing. And 6 months later, she says, I'm no longer that person, Jeff. And she was telling me about this person she saw in Atlanta. Oh, my God, that woman, Melissa. She walked into the room. You could tell she owned it. And she was so impressed with that woman's energy. That left a lasting impression on her. She didn't say to me, oh, my God, that Melissa was overwhelmed. She was in the tank. Did you see how much anxiety she had? She said, I could tell you and Melissa had a spiritual connection. Melissa was sitting in the front row, you could tell that Melissa was one of your coaching clients. You could really feel that. See, that left an impression on her. I didn't do that to impress her, but it impressed upon her that she could be that woman also. And you could be that woman, you could be that man, you could be that soul having a human experience tonight. When you begin to be in your body, when you are in the flow, when you're in ITF, then you're not in the other situations that keep you overwhelmed, anxious, and toxic energy attracting the same type of people over and over. Before you go to bed tonight, a very simple, relaxed state to create an awareness tonight. When you go to bed tonight, forgive whatever you did today that you judged yourself. Forgive anyone that you held, that you gave power to that doesn't require your power. Focus on resting tonight. Don't tell yourself you're going to toss and turn. Don't use a barbiturate or a sedative. Don't take the edge off with any food right before you go to bed. Go to bed on an empty stomach, relaxed and released. Go to bed feeling great, not guilty. Do not take guilt into your rest, or you'll toss and turn in your sleep. You'll wake up with a subluxation on C1 or C2 on the non-dominant side of your body with a rib head on your upper back that's out of place, and you'll have low back pain with one leg shorter than the other. That's what happens when you can't let go. Letting go is liberating. Letting go is a decision. Letting go is a commitment. Letting go is a choice. And I want to thank you for being on tonight's call. My name is Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, giving it to you tonight that you are unequivocally your best. Belief is your sense of certainty. Believe right now tonight that this is your time. This is your present. This is your space. This is your now. Now is now, and you're in the space to attract from to your reality people that you've always been looking for, and they've been looking for you. The people you're looking for, they've been looking for you, but you have not been emotionally available. Now, this happened to me in 1996. Everyone that I've been looking for in 6 years showed up in 6 months. That means I condensed time, collapsed time, and I let go of so much of my control that I wasn't in control of control, and I was no longer the driver on my bus to the highway called anxiety. I started to let go of my hands on the wheel, and I remember riding a bicycle 6 miles from Westwood, California, right on the campus of UCLA, down San Vicente Boulevard to Ocean Boulevard, carrying my bike over Pacific Coast Highway on Will Rogers Beach and riding another several miles up the coast on a asphalt sidewalk without using my hands. That was the hands-free zone, so go to bed like that tonight. Jeffrey Combs, president and founder, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, you have a great evening.